If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Well, I have good news this evening. How many could use some good news? You up for that? I think we would all say I'm up for some good news. Well, the good news I want to share with you is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in verse number 10, I want to just highlight that verse as we look at a few principles tonight. The angel, when he appeared along with the heavenly host to the shepherds, he said this. He said, "I bring you good news. I bring you good news." And, you know, our world's always in need of good news, but I think we could especially use a dose right about now. How about you? Well, I want to share some aspects of this good news. Why the coming of our Lord and Savior, why the birth of a baby in a small, obscure town called Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, why that's good news for you and me and for our world. There are, I believe, four aspects of good news that that make it good news and that apply to what we're talking about tonight. I want to share them with you for the next few minutes. First of all, for news to be good, it must be correct. It must be true. Look at verse number 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, one of the most ridiculed and mocked doctrines of the church, and there are many, is really one of our founding doctrines. It's the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We live in a day and an age, there have always been skeptics, but it seems the skeptics have multiplied in our day and age. And for many people, right at the outset, that would invalidate any belief in Christianity, in the God of Christianity, this so-called foolish notion of a virgin giving birth to a child. But you know, when you examine the documents, and I don't have time to do it all tonight, but when you examine the record, we see here that Luke ties his narrative to historical markers, historical events. And if you go through the specifics of what Luke is talking about, you can see that what he's recording is based in fact. It's based in reality. And, you know, we've been doing a study the last few Wednesday nights on our online course on the virgin birth. And I love what one theologian said. You know, if you accept the notion of an almighty God of a first cause, and by the way, it's a scientific principle that nothing exists without a cause, okay? Our universe had a cause. So if you can accept that there is a cause and he is a supernatural God, someone said, for a baby boy to be born of a virgin is child's play. It's not a leap of faith to believe that a supernatural God could cause a virgin to conceive and bear a child. And so this good news, in order to be good news, has to be correct. It has to be true. This news was brought by an angel. Later on in the passage, we see that it was checked out by the shepherds. And we can, the point I want to make tonight is this. Our belief in Jesus, born of a virgin, is not a fairy tale. It's not some story that was tacked on to his biography later in time to validate his divinity. But it is anchored in reality. And I'm so glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad that our faith is in something that's solid, something is real. So it's good news because it's correct. Secondly, in order to be good news, it has to be current. This was current news for the shepherds. We read in verse 11, the angel appeared to the shepherds and said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Today, you know, we live in a day and an age of instant news, don't we? Something happens at 2 o'clock, by about 2:10, the whole world knows about it, if it's newsworthy. Isn't that right? But remarkably, 2,000 years ago, these shepherds, these average working Joes out on the job, had an angelic visitation, and the dark night sky was emblazoned with light as a host of heavenly angels came and declared that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This was current news. Now you may say, well, Pastor Tim, it was current for them 2,000 years ago, but what about us today? I submit to you that even though we're 2,000 years removed, this news is current for us. Because it's just as powerful, just as effective today as it was then. Do you know that in our world of the information age that I just referred to a moment ago, there are still people who don't know that God became man, that the Son of God was born of a virgin and came to save us from our sins. There are people who don't know the gospel. There are people who are not aware that that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin and came to offer himself on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. There are people who don't know that. And when they hear that news, for them that's current news. That's something brand new. And it's powerful. It's just as real today. When we consider what the Son of God did, he left the glories of heaven. He left the prerogatives of his divine power and came to become one of us. Isn't that awesome? I've said this many times. If you attend our church regularly, you've heard me say this. Perhaps you've heard others say this. Christianity is the only faith, the only religion in which God comes to man. Every other religion, every other faith is predicated on man somehow getting to God. Somehow searching for God, somehow trying to do enough good deeds or trying to navigate their way through the difficulties of life and find their way to Almighty God. Our faith isn't based on that. Our faith is based on the fact that Almighty God came to us. Hallelujah. You talk about good news. You talk about good news. We just showed that video. He's still the light of the world. And the scripture in Isaiah says, to the people walking in darkness, a great light has dawned. Hallelujah. And that light still shines today. It's still good news. It's still current. It's still worth hearing about. It's good news. Thirdly, to be good news, news needs to be relevant to common people. It needs to be relevant to everyday people. The angel said in verse 10, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news." The verse I read in verse 11, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you." And verse 12 says, "This will be a sign to you, you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You know, probably if some of us had designed the plan of salvation, designed the notion, if we could wrap our minds around the notion of God becoming man, we probably would have designed things a little differently, you know? We'd have probably had him come with great fanfare. We'd have probably had him come to be born to a royal earthly family and to be born in the finest trappings and the finest surroundings. And the king's messengers would go forth and declare, kind of like, you know, when a royal baby is born, you know, across the pond. We hear about it, don't we? We would have come up with something like that, wouldn't we? For him to, and you know, as interesting as it might be when there's a royal birth, and all the news focuses on it for a while, you get, in our day and age I'm talking about, you get a great sense that, boy, those are people in a whole different stratosphere than us common people, don't you? I do. I'm not from a royal family. It's a little different. But Jesus didn't come that way. He came. He was placed in a manger. He was wrapped in cloth and on a bed of straw. Talk about common. Talk about average. There was nothing common about his birth, born of a virgin, God becoming man. That wasn't what was common, but the circumstances of his birth were common. I marvel at that. And you know what that says to me? Being a common, average, ordinary person like I am, that says to me, he came for me. He came for me. He came to represent me. He came to deal with my issues and my concerns and the petty little things in my life. And he came for you. He came for us common people, if you don't mind me including you with me in that. He came for us. He didn't come for the wealthy. He didn't come for the privileged. He didn't come for just the educated. He didn't come for just the famous. He came for all of us. And so for news to be good news, it needs to be relevant to the common man. And this news is, it's good news. It's good news. Fourthly, for news to be good news, needs to be communicated. You know, it needs to be broadcast. It needs to be expressed. News isn't news if nobody knows about it. It needs to be cultivated. Verse 17 says this. The shepherds, in the verses I didn't read, when they heard the message of the angels, they went off and said, "Let us go see this baby." And then in verse 17, speaking of the shepherds, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Good news needs to be communicated, needs to be expressed. It needs to be heard. You know, some of the greatest problems in life come from a lack of communication. Would you agree with that? You know, you ever have that feeling we have a failure to communicate? Like the wife who was busy Christmas shopping, left a note for her husband. It said, "Thaw turkey." The husband, underneath her note, wrote his own note, said, "I thaw a turkey too." That's a lack of communication. But good news must be communicated. It must be expressed. You know, I tell new moms and dads that when they have their new little bundle of joy, that it will literally affect every part of their lives. And yeah. That, I can't see too well, but I believe that was a parent who said that. Your life changes when babies are born, but that's a good thing. Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, enters your life changes. Your life is different. And let me tell you, that's worth telling about. That's worth communicating, amen? We communicate it. with our words. Church, let's not be ashamed to declare who Jesus is. Doesn't matter if it's popular. Doesn't matter if it's, in line with, those that are around us in our culture. Let's not be ashamed to declare that Jesus Christ has come into our lives and he's changed our lives and made a difference. But we also communicate it with our lifestyle. How do we live? It's one thing to say Jesus changed my life from when I was selfish and sinful and focused on pleasing myself. It's another thing to express it through the way we live. Amen. I respectfully ask you tonight, does your life communicate the change that Jesus has brought in your life? Do people who rub shoulders with you, do they know the good news of what Jesus can do in a life? You see, here are five truths that we need to understand. I know this is Christmas, but we need to understand this because it's all wrapped up in the Christ of Christmas coming to us. The five truths are this. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also secondly says that all are loved by Almighty God. John 3:16 tells us that. Thirdly, the Bible declares that all men and women and boys and girls can be saved through Jesus Christ. It also tells us that there is a judgment day coming. And fifthly, the Word of God tells us in Philippians that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, this baby who came in a manger the first time, that Jesus is Lord. And he's coming back, not as a baby, but as a conquering king. Good news. Good news. Hallelujah. This evening, if perhaps you've heard this good news, maybe you're hearing it for the first time, maybe you've heard it before. But I want to again respectfully ask you, has this good news made a difference in your life? Has it impacted you? Have you received the Christ of Christmas? If not, this can be the year. This can be the time when the good news of Christmas impacts your life. And it not only impacts the rest of your life, but it impacts you for all eternity. I'm so glad he came. I'm so glad I heard the good news that a Savior has come to save me from my sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.